It's the bonus episode. Welcome along to The Gut Glow, brought to you with thanks to Centrum Multibiotics Complete. If you have listened to this podcast for a while, you'll know that I'm always trying to make wellness less complicated. I think there was a time when I believed I had to do all of the things all of the time, but these days I'm much more interested in the habits that I can actually stick to and that actually work for me. The big thing for me is when I can understand why I'm doing something, I'm far more likely to keep doing it. So let me tell you why I take Centrum Multibiotics Complete. It's a daily food supplement. It combines 18 essential vitamins and minerals and 18 scientifically proven strains for my gut in one capsule. It even includes vitamin D for normal immune function and vitamin B12 to support energy release. One capsule once a day, that's it. I don't overcomplicate my days, but looking after myself is a big priority. For me, it's all the little things that I do consistently that make the biggest difference. You can find Centrum Multibiotics Complete in Tesco, Dunn Stores and Boots, in store and online. Welcome along to the podcast. Sorry we're coming to you a little bit late this week. There's a lot going on. We've got the September reset. The Good Glow is back. I'm back doing corporate talks. The office is busy. We've got Arosa. We've got Rome, we've got Lake Garda, we've got a few secret trips up our sleeves. And Jamie, you're running the Kerry Ultra on Saturday, 60 kilometres in the mountains with a group from The Good Glow. And this week, I would say it would be pretty accurate to say you're here in body, but not in mind.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get my head in the game for the big challenge that lies ahead at the weekend, but also the organisation that goes into this sort of stuff is pretty deep. You know, you got to have your nutrition on point before you run. You've got to get all your nutrition in order for when you're actually doing the run. So on this run, we're doing 60K. We'll have a stop at 21 or 22K. So after half marathon distance, there'll be a crew stop. At that crew stop, you've got to reload with all your stock. And when I say stock, I mean like our nutrition. So new gels, new carbohydrate bars, drinks, all that sort of stuff. Load that up into your running vest. Off you go again to the next crew stop where you got to have all your stuff ready to go again. To give people perspective, I've got little freezer bags. On the freezer bags, I've got crew stop one marked. I've got crew stop two marked. I've got a change of clothes for crew stop one because you'll be
coming. I wish you could be this organized for like our family holidays. Like, you literally just show up at the airport. Where are we staying? How are we getting there? What are the kids
That's
bringing?
So not true. You have to be super organized for these things. You'd be less organized for a family holiday. Swimming togs, towels and all the rest is grand. Like, it's fine. This stuff is serious. So
it's life or death.
Yeah, well, it could be. You got, like, you know, you don't want to be running out of energy at the top of a mountain and have to go another 20 kilometers with no help. So yeah, it's a big challenge, but I'm really excited for it. We're doing it with five lads who I've met just through our running trips. They're members of Team Good Glow, but they've become great friends over the years. And I've never done this distance with them before. We've done, I think, up to about 35, 40K with them in the hills last year. But this is a much, much bigger challenge. So it's pretty exciting. And I have a few friends from outside the Good Glow that are doing it as well. One guy is doing a 200 kilometer run. So my mate Rob is doing that. And we're hopefully we will pick him up sometime on the route because he has
to cross. Physically?
Probably. And mentally. But he has to cross where we start. So we start in a town called Sneem. He has to cross there by 9 o'clock in the morning after running all the way through the night. So hopefully we'll pick him up along the way and give him a boost and bring him along with us too.
Whoa, it's amazing. So for any Good Glow fans, Olivia Hunt, who was on my podcast 2 seasons ago, her husband is doing it. And Tilo and Colm, who's not, we weren't at their wedding in May, but they are brothers-in-law. So we were at their family wedding. It was so much fun. One thing that I wanted to say to you there. Yeah, so Joe, my stepdad, is crewing for you. So he's going to be at the various stops, you know, with all of the stuff that you need to restock with for a pep talk. He has a little cooker making you guys noodles and stuff. How important is it to have somebody who is outside of what you're doing? Like, is that a grounding moment where you're kind of brought back to life or brought out of the pain when you see him?
Yeah, well, you know that you're obviously making your way to him at a certain point. So there is that. And Joe always brings a good laugh and sense of humor and encouragement and support and stuff for these things. So it's nice to get that along the way when you're putting yourself through the misery of the rain or whatever is going on, to have someone there for you. And Joe, no better man than Joe for that. But also, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's going to have, yeah, for me, it's the noodles. I love a warm sort of crew stop where you can get some warm food into you. But then last week, one of the lads put in an order for a big bowl of pasta. So I don't know how Joe's going to manage the noodles and the pasta at the same time, but no doubt he will sort that out. And like warm coffee, change of clothes. He's pre-organized, is Joe. So we no better man to do that for us.
Well, I'm looking forward to all the behind the scenes stuff. And we can track you. So I'm sure over on your Instagram, you will share a link so we can track your progress throughout the weekend.
For sure.
Okay, brilliant. So Dr. Paddy Barrett was my guest on The Good Glow this week. And I felt so honored to have Dr. Barrett on the podcast. So if you haven't listened to the main episode, it is gold. Jamie, what did you think of the episode itself?
This is my kind of podcast. I love podcasts like this. It's one of those podcasts that we call, like in our business, we call it evergreen, because the content isn't date specific or the story isn't relevant just at this time. It's like evergreen. You could listen to this podcast four times over the next 4 years and it would still all be relevant. So, you know, I loved it. I think the way Dr. Barrett talks, his use of metaphors and his understanding of, like, not just his own field, which is cardiology, but his understanding of life and how to live meaningful and purposeful life is amazing. And the role that health plays then within that, I think is incredible. It's lovely to see a doctor, a medical doctor, speak in the way he speaks.
Mm. And there is just so many aha moments. It's kind of like listening to Oprah or Mel Robbins or one of those people that's going to help you apply what he says to your life and make your life better. So we're going to talk through a couple of things. Dr. Paddy is a cardiologist, one of the country's leading cardiologists. And did you know of him before you became one of his patients?
Yeah, no. So I became a patient of his because I was having a heart issue. I thought I was having a heart issue. I was getting pains when I was running. Then I realized that they were actually a shoulder pain that was kind of coming down across my chest. But I went to see him anyway because my dad had a heart issue. And when he walked out and started talking to me, I was like, I recognize this guy's voice. I didn't recognize him, but I recognized his voice. And then I was like, how do I know him? And it's just, we went through the appointment together. He talked to me about everything. He arranged scans, all this sort of stuff for me to go off and do. And then when I got back in the car afterwards, I put an Instagram story up. And obviously I was talking about Dr. Paddy Barrett in the Instagram story. And the algorithm then started to feed me his content. I was like, this is where I've seen him before. His Instagram account is brilliant. He gives you such, like, amazing nuggets of knowledge and information on his Instagram. And that's where I had come across him before.
Yeah, so I started following him then. He's got over 70,000 followers on Instagram. He's got 37,000 readers of his newsletter every single week. And it was something he said in December that literally stopped me in my tracks and changed, I suppose, my life. He said, we all pay the psychological distress for not doing the things we know we should do, but don't do. In terms of, we are creating our own misery when we're putting off things that we know we should be doing. And for me, that was a health check that I'd been putting off for so many years. I thought about this health check all the time, but I could just never make the appointment. And when I saw that Instagram story, I just said, enough of this suffering. I'm just going to do it. So I went, I made the appointment and I got called within a week, which was terrifying, but I was so glad I was in the system. I went for a colonoscopy and I just had this irrational fear over, I suppose in the news, there's so much about colon cancer and bowel cancer. James van der Beek had died. It was just a lot in my algorithm about it. And I thought, God, every day I think about this and every day I'm putting it off. And so it was Dr. Paddy Barrett's Instagram story that made me do it. And I went for the test. Everything was fine. And I really feel like through that process, I had set myself free. And like, did you notice a difference in me when I came out of that procedure?
Yeah, well, like I went to pick you up from the hospital and you were obviously sitting in the little seat post procedure, and like there was all automatically like a lightness to your face and a smile. And I hadn't asked you then whether you'd got results. I think they had, the doctor had come in the meantime between when I was talking to you to go to pick you up. So I could see immediately just from looking at you that it was good news and there was no issues, which is amazing.
Yeah. And I think, okay, so for anybody who's really scared to get a colonoscopy, I was really scared because I felt quite self-conscious about it. And I don't know, I just, when I went in to get it, I was so surprised by how much the two nurses in the room and the doctor were just in their flow and not really paying attention to me. And what I mean by that is, they're not even really looking at you. They're just doing their job and you're just another person that's coming through the doors. I mean, how many people do they see every day? And in that moment, I was just like, God, why was I so worried about this? I felt so comfortable. It was over in, you know, I was sedated. It was over really quickly. And I just felt so reassured afterwards, and I just felt like I'd done something great for myself, because I think when you can get ahead of a health check, you know, don't wait for symptoms to get checked, you can really set yourself free.
Yeah, and I think that leads into one of the points that Paddy also said in the podcast, which was the spotlight effect, which I'd never really heard that term for this before, but is that like, you know, you feel like everyone is looking at you, but really they're not. So like in that case, you probably felt like, oh my God, everyone is like, knows I'm here to do this thing. But like in reality, they're there to do their job. They're not looking at you in the way you are looking at you. And he says that, you know, spotlight effect always holds us back. It's like what you were saying about you years ago when you took up running. You never wanted to go running because you felt like people, you were scarlet. You felt like everyone was looking at you. Like no one is looking at you running down the road. Everyone's just busy doing their own thing.
Yeah. And actually, just when you're saying that, like, say, for example, we brought 210 people to New York to do the half marathon a couple of years ago. Even then, even though it was our trip, and we were bringing all these people, still nobody was looking at me running. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, nobody cares. I remember I was so scared to get a smear test, you know, back in my 20s. And I'll never forget what my mum said to me. And this is why we always need Irish mammies around. She said, Georgie, I'm sure they're delighted to see you with your lovely vagina coming through the door. And that always, you know, gave me a bit of encouragement to go get it done, because, you know, we're all here to just help, as Jerry would say, walk each other home, but also to be around for as long as possible. And it's when you go into a hospital or when you go into a doctor's surgery, I think you can kind of remember at that point, oh, I'm being held in this moment and they are here to help me. So maybe this is your sign. Maybe you need to make that appointment that you keep putting off today. Maybe you need to pause this podcast right now, Google the right phone number, make the call, come back, press play, and know that you've done something amazing for yourself.
Oh, yeah. So that brings me to another thing that Paddy Barrett said on the podcast, which is about sort of pulling the levers. Like he talks about pulling the levers now in order to lead a longer life. And when I went to see him, he used the same terminology to me because I have high cholesterol. Now, it's not impacting me right now, but he suggested that maybe I go on statins, and that's the lever I need to pull right now. I have literally no plaque in my heart. My cholesterol is high, but it's not impacting me now. But he said it will impact you over time. So why not start now and pull those levers in order for it to not be a problem down the line?
Yeah, so wise. And that's what I mean about this podcast. There's just a million little sound bites and absolute golden nuggets in it. One thing I loved about it was you can't hit a target that you can't see. And I think, you know, even down to the September reset, and that's why I get so specific in the September reset about one thing you need to focus on for the last 4 months of the year. Because I think sometimes we blindly move through weeks and months and years. It's almost like we have our eyes closed and we're just kind of feeling our way through it. Like we don't have that target. What exactly is it that you want right now? You know, it's very easy to say, I want to be healthy. I want to get fit. I want to be more forgiving. I want to be kinder to myself. But what are the specific targets that you can set around those feelings that you're trying to work towards? And you're big into setting yourself targets for your next fitness challenge, for example.
Yeah, like I think you can go out there and you can go, oh, I want to get fit, so I will start running. But like what Paddy was saying in the podcast, that you need to be very specific. So like, I want to get fit, so I'm going to start running. Great. But like the chances are you'll go running for a month and then it'll just fall off.
Mm-hmm.
Get specific. Sign up for something so that you, that is then the target. So sign up for a 5K, sign up for Hell and Back, sign up for some adventure race, sign up for something. That then becomes your target that is very specific. And then you have that specific goal. And then the other thing that I'd say on that is tell people about it, post it on your Instagram, tell people, get the support, get people go, yay, good for you, go for it. You know, a cheering you on from the sidelines. But also that creates like this accountability mm-hmm. that you have to go and do it then. Because like, I think loads of people have this big idea of like, I'm going to get this, I'm going to do this when. But like without the specific target, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I was just like what I was talking about on the podcast last week, even about the Lake Garda half marathon. So that's next April. So much time to train for it. But people will still say to me, oh, I could never do that. I mean, it's September now. You could do a couch to 5K between now and November when our training plans start and then get yourself up. It's absolutely doable. I mean, I counted myself out of so many things because I felt like I didn't belong. I watched you from the sidelines for so many years. And now I just changed the story, told myself I can do it, set myself a target, and I show up on the start lines for things. And, you know, I don't ever have 100% belief in myself, but I'm there. I saw this brilliant video today, like 98% of people that stand on full marathon start lines actually finish because you're in a group and it's a collective effort.
It's so much easier in a group. And it's like, I'll also just say there on the point I was making is that I am not, if I don't sign up for something as well, I will fall off.
Mm.
Like I need that target and I know I need that. That's why I just keep signing up for stuff. And if I have it, then I'll do it. But like I'm guilty of being that person as well, you know, that will fall off the bandwagon if I don't have something big signed up for.
Yeah. And just even in terms of something else, like I was back doing a corporate talk yesterday and it was so good to go in and just be in a room full of amazing people. But when I do my corporate talks, I'm not in there to convince people to quit their jobs, to go off, find themselves for a year. It's about just reflecting on how you're living your life, like getting off the dance floor, onto the balcony, having this kind of bird's eye view. And I speak in the corporate talks about how my first ever healthy habit was water. I had been diagnosed with cancer. My surgery was in 10 days and I felt utterly helpless during that time. And I thought the one thing I can do for myself within this 10-day period is get hydrated. And so that's what I did. That's all I did. 2 liters of water a day. And I had a target. I did the work every single day. And then I was hydrated. And when water became a healthy habit that I did without even thinking about it, I moved on to nutrition. When that was nailed, I moved on to fitness. You don't have to do all of the things all of the time. And actually, I think picking things off one by one is the real way to do it.
Yeah, well, if you do all of the things all of the time, you will fail. You won't do any of them right. So like, that's not the right approach. But again, talking about the levers, you were pulling the lever. The only lever you could see at that time was like water, and you pulled it as hard as you could. And then once that was done, then you moved on to the next one. You pulled that one as hard as you could.
Yeah.
And you know, you got through the chemo pretty smoothly.
Yeah, well, thank God for that. Another thing that I loved was he said, facts don't change people's minds, stories do. That's so powerful. A book recommendation, Talk Like TED. If you're looking to improve like your public speaking or anything like that, it's such a good book. And in Talk Like TED, which is based around TED Talks, they say you should always open a talk with a personal story, and it really hooks people in. And I've always done that in my corporate talks. And even yesterday, there was another speaker there and she did the same.
Yeah, well, like facts are great and interesting for about 5 seconds, but they're boring, let's be honest. So you're not going to change people's minds or influence people by just spitting out information at them. People resonate with personal stories. And I guess that's where the Good Glow even started from, right?
Yeah. And that's why it was always really important for me to just have stories from women. You know, started off just interviewing women, and they're the stories, or they're the times that I get stopped in the street, is a story that just hit somebody and changed them as well. One story from my book that I also talk about during my corporate talks is the burnt potato. And that took me by complete surprise when I released my book, how many people resonated with it.
But that's a great story, and it's something that's so relatable. And that's when you talk about the burnt potato story, like yesterday I was sitting in the room, I could see the kind of reaction of people sort of like kind of pricking to attention and looking around, and maybe you could see them really engaging with you when you were telling that story.
Yeah. So the burnt potato, just for anyone who hasn't heard it, was just about, it's a metaphor for how I lived my life before I got sick. And it started with really thinking about how I was eating burnt food, and Jamie had been diagnosed with MS. I really wanted him to stay well. And I always thought, in inverted commas, I'd be grand. And so if there was a tiny corner of the dish burnt, like potatoes or lasagna or a bit of burnt toast, I would always put that on my plate in order to keep Jamie as well as possible. And then when I was diagnosed with cancer, I realized that it wasn't just burnt food. It was not going to the gym. It was not going outside for fresh air, not taking a lunch break, you know, eating at my desk day after day, not drinking enough water. And when I was sitting reflecting on how I lived my life, I was like, how did I expect to stay well eating the burnt potato all the time? And I vowed to myself in my recovery that there was no more burnt potato, physical burnt potatoes. And also, you know, I was going to put myself higher on my own to-do list. But then interestingly, when I got sick, I could notice Jamie putting burnt food on his plate. And I think you have to come together with the people you love or the person you're running your household with and say, right, neither of us are going to eat the burnt potato, and we're both going to support each other to live a long, hopefully healthy, happy life.
Yeah, and just to confirm for everyone listening, we don't cook our food at 300 degrees every night and burn everything. You know, it is just a metaphor, but it was the case. You know, the pendulum swung one way with when I got sick, and then it swung back the other way when you unfortunately got sick. And I think we're probably at a point now where it's pretty balanced, and we don't do that anymore. We acknowledge it and we're like very aware of it. And I think that's a really important thing, is to become aware of that stuff. And, you know, going back to the original point here, it's a story like that that hits home with people. And I love that story, and I love it's so simple, but it's something that really resonates with people, because people who care about other people put the other people first.
And yeah.
They take the burnt food for themselves or whatever it is. And it's important to not do that, because you will then apply that logic to every other step in your life.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when I go out and do the corporate talks, it's so nice to connect with people, because everyone is so busy and everyone is trying to juggle it all. But it's just simply about just pausing for 2 seconds, you know, slowing down to speed up. What am I doing here? Where am I going? What do my daily habits look like? And what are the tiny, tiny shifts that I can make that's going to essentially improve my inner world, which speeds up everything in your outer world?
Yeah.
One thing that I thought was so funny, just a bit of behind the scenes stuff from the recording of the podcast. Dr. Paddy came here. Luca Fuelon was here. He does all of our video stuff. And afterwards, now Luke won't mind us saying this, but he had this, it was like he realized how short life was. And after listening to Dr. Paddy speak, especially towards the end when Dr. Paddy was talking about like your soul span and doing meaningful things and using your time wisely, like Luke afterwards was like, oh my God, oh my God, I don't know if I'm okay. And I was like, Luke, are you okay?
To the point that you had to say, let's go out for a coffee, right?
Yeah, so we had another podcast scheduled in. So I was like, okay, I'm going to bring Luke to the cheese bar, which is down.
There is nothing a cheese bar won't fix.
I know, which is down the bottom of our street. So we go out and he's like, whoa, that was so powerful. Like, he's amazing. But Jesus, it's really making me think about my life. And then bang, around the corner, there's this ambulance. Luke was basically rocking back and forth in the car. We get to the cheese bar. Everything was just so overwhelming for about half an hour.
That was the day of the yellow trousers, right?
Yeah, I was wearing yellow trousers, these gorgeous new yellow trousers that I bought. We went into the coffee shop. About 5 people were like, oh my God, your trousers are amazing. Luke was like, Luke went to the Twilight Zone for an hour. But he came back, we sat him down, he had his panini and he was fine. But it's great to see an impact, you know, the impact that podcasts can have on people. And you just never know what part of a conversation is going to hit home with somebody.
Yeah, like that moment reminded me of the time. I don't know what it is with us, like, and videographers, but do you remember the time we went to Portugal to film Rise and Thrive, our course with Jerry and Miriam?
Oh my God, yes.
So we flew into Portugal. It was kind of at the end of COVID or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So we flew into Portugal. We had our videographer there, Elijah. We had Georgie's brother, Mick. We were meeting Jerry and Miriam. We'd rented this villa to shoot the course in. Like, we went full on the production of that course, like, you know, crazy. Anyway, we go into the villa. Jerry comes in. I'll let you tell the story about when he came in, but like to finish off the thing with the videographers, Jerry sits down, he does his piece to camera, which is like 35, 40 minutes long.
In one take.
Just reamed it off, like boom, and then finished. Then he sat down and you interviewed him. So it was like a podcast interview about what he was speaking about. And then at the end, Elijah hits, you know, cut, or, you know, clacks the clacker, we're done. And he goes, I just need a minute. And then he goes outside. And we were kind of like, is he all right? And anyway, I walk outside and Elijah's kind of like pacing up and down, almost like, you know, I wouldn't say he was rocking in his chair, but he was like shook by the content that Jerry had just spat out just off the top of his head. And it was just such a moment. And geez, we had actually got such a laugh that weekend, didn't we?
Oh, like even, you know, so we get to the villa and it was like the echo. How do you say echoiest?
Most echoey. Most echoey.
It was the most echoey place on earth. Like there couldn't have been a bigger echo. And this was before, I mean, you can fix echoes now with AI, which is gold. But we walked in and we were like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And we had 12 hours until Jerry was coming the next morning. And I just remember Elijah just looking up at the tiles, like the amount of tiles, hardly any doors in the villa.
Massive ceilings. So the sound just hops around all over the place. Like it was so echoey.
Yeah. And then we were like, okay, we need to bring all the mattresses down from upstairs. So Mick was working on the course with us. That's my brother. He's an incredible facilitator. He used to work with SOAR, the charity, and go and speak to teenagers in schools about their mental health. And the work that he was doing was just incredible. So we were like, okay, all the mattresses down. So we get all the mattresses down. We're testing the sound. And when Jerry was actually doing his 30-minute piece in one take, myself and Mick were also having the same reaction that Elijah was having, because we were standing behind one mattress each holding it up. And I just remember looking at Mick and being like, oh my God.
Yeah, because like, you couldn't see Jerry, right? So the two of you were like hiding behind mattresses. The place actually ended up looking like a frat house party at the end. It was like all the mattresses, like it was like we'd taken the mattresses and thrown them off the kind of balcony upstairs into the downstairs. It was, if you'd walked into that scene just randomly off the street, you'd have been like, what is going on here?
And Jerry, when he came in, because it was COVID, the first podcast that we had recorded together was remote. And that was the first time that I'd ever met Jerry in real life. And he walked in the front door and we're there with all the mattresses. And I remember though thinking Jerry so fits in with us when he was like, can I make a banana sandwich? Do you remember?
And then do you remember we were trying to, I think, was it during Miriam's bit or some, it might have been during Jerry's bit, there was a fly.
And yes.
Elijah, there was a fly in the room, so that we have the world's most echoey room. We have mattresses everywhere, and then all you can hear is this fly and the echoey sound of a fly in the room, and the mics were picking it up. So we were then there was like four of us chasing this fly around this absolutely massive villa in Portugal. It was, we definitely have video footage of some of that stuff.
Okay, yeah, we'll post it.
So we need to we'll post that to Instagram tomorrow in order to show you a little bit of behind the scenes and what happens.
Yeah, and then it was like, you know, there's like films where you put like six random people together. It was like that, because we went out for dinner that night. I was like, I'm sure Jerry needs this like a hole in the head. But we all went out for dinner that night. Myself and Miriam, we're quite friendly, so we were dying to go for dinner together. But we ended up sitting around the table, and you know, one of those dinners where you're like belly laughing. It was so funny. I don't know if it's because we were all so exhausted from the day, but we roared laughing for hours that night. And we still talk about that night with Jerry and Miriam when we see them.
Yeah. And we were talking about recreating it as well. And we haven't done that, but it was one of those nights that you just never will forget. We were telling ghost stories. It was just so random and so funny. Maybe it should just be left there though.
You know? And by the end of it, like Elijah and Mick were going to work for Jerry, remember?
Yeah.
But listen, it was such an honor. It's an honor to get to listen to these incredible people speaking on the Good Glow. I actually love that we're doing bonus episodes, because it helps me stop and really take in what they've said before I'm zooming on to the next thing in life.
Yeah, and like this season has been really good, I think. I've enjoyed these chats and I've enjoyed listening to all the podcasts. I know we've a good few more in the bag and some really good ones coming down the line. So I can't wait for people to hear them and get a bit of feedback.
So that's it. And hope you enjoy, Kerry. We will be tracking you. You should share your link. And I have Tally going around the house going, girls weekend.
Yeah, I better get a little banner made for me though.
Yeah, okay, we will. But thank you so much for tuning in today. As I said, September reset, you can use the code podcast for 10% off. If you want to set a target, if you want to focus for the last 4 months of the year, and if you want to just get some stuff, crap off your plate so that you can move forward with purpose, sign up for the September reset. We're starting on Monday, the 7th of September. And also, if you have a corporate inquiry for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, especially because it's getting really booked up in October, you can email info@thegoodglow.ie. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
See you then.